be tarred by this election, that he'd be voted on, you know, that, you know, assuming he makes no major mistakes. Now, of course, you know, who knows what's going to happen in the next legislature, you know, it's going to be bad. So, I don't know.
So where did Hunt emerge from all of this? Stronger or weaker? Or how much stronger?
All right, Hunt's been running too long. Now, I don't know that the election had a damn thing to do with that. One way or the other.
You think North Carolina's just looking for a fresh face?
I'm not saying that North Carolina's necessarily looking for a fresh face. If a fresh face appears, I think it will hurt Hunt that he's been running so long.
Is Luther Hodges Jr. perceived as a fresh face?
He's perceived by me as a fresh face. You can't ask that question generally because most people don't consider him as a candidate. I don't think he's made any open noises about it.
I'm glad you're saying if he decided to become one, would he be perceived as a fresh face?
I think the answer to that is yes. Definitely. I think he would. Don't you?
I don't know enough about North Carolina politics.
Well, I think Luther would be perceived as a fresh face. And he's got the kind of straight reaction to everything that people are looking for. Everything is out there. It's very open. He's not glib, God knows. But
if Howard Lee runs for lieutenant governor, do you think that will succeed in energizing black votes statewide, getting blacks to register, getting North Carolina caught back up with what its position used to be?
No, I don't think that one thing would do it, no. I don't know what would energize. It's incredible, slow, uphill process to educate an electorate. And when you start thinking about the blacks in eastern North Carolina, boy, you're talking about an uphill struggle for good, really tough. But, you know, just because he runs, I don't think we'll put North Carolina back where it was, no. I think it'd be good if he runs, don't misunderstand me.
You see the role of labor increasing substantially in North Carolina?
No, not too much. Well, I didn't wonder, I'll be very interested in, you know, what happened today in the Cannon Mills election. They just haven't played it very smart, I think, in terms of strategy. Obviously, it's changed, you know, because I remember the day when you had to hide the fact that labor was for you. Now, gubernatorial candidates are happy, not only happy, but arranged to have invitations to state FLCL convention. And I don't think that happened until maybe 68, happened in 72, but maybe. But before 68, no way you'd even admit you knew anybody that was in labor. But as you know, labor is weaker here than it is in a lot of other southern states. We're the lowest unionized state in the United States. I think we're even lower than Mississippi.
If they win that one today, it's going to represent a real change.
I agree. And then Roanoke Rapids is, J.P. Stevens is falling on the axe, and I think it will. I think they'll play an increasing role.
Is there anything we haven't discussed or doing to comment on?
Well, I think the party here, like the party, the Democratic Party, that is, and it's no different from the party in many other places. Picking petty fights about the wording of the intent of the party to have a broad decision-making face is biting off their nose to spite their face. And I, for one, am tired of trying to get that message across and no longer intend to do so. because what is going to happen is it's going to show up just in the polls, just like it did this time with the 40% of the electorate voting, or they're going to go vote for somebody that's, that shows very clearly, like Ravenel has, that he could care less about to establish party. That's where it's at. And, you know, this is true in every segment of our society. And it's certainly true in the political aspect of it. You know, we're going to have change one way or the other. And if they don't understand that it's coming and how it's coming and, you know, incorporate that change or make it possible for that change to happen inside, it's going to happen outside and they're going to be left out. Already we have right now more people in this country who say they're independents than who say they're either Republican or Democratic. And that, and the move from party to independent is faster in the South than any region of this country, according to my friend Lou Harris. And that's just going to... I don't see anything that the party is doing, the Democratic Party, and I don't think the Republican Party is doing much. You know, to recognize the factors that are causing those trends. People are just not going to, you know, be gophers anymore. And I think it spells some very serious things for parties. Because there's a lot of things are carried out by the parties. A lot of functions are performed by parties at all levels. And I don't think it's good. And I think if Gene McCarthy gets an independent candidate on the ticket next time, just like here's an independent, you don't have to vote for a party, that obviously, depending on who the candidates are, but I would say now that a candidate like that would pull a hell of a lot of votes. I'm not talking about coming close to winning, but I'm talking about a protest. And I see nothing happening in the parties that takes that into account, takes what is happening in this country, in the communities of this country, among women, among blacks, among ethnics, blue collars, whatever group you want to turn to. They're just not reading it. There's no way. It's somewhere between an iron curtain and a bamboo curtain. No way to get the message to Garcia. Just guess. But
is that basically just a continuing developing sense of alienation from established institutions of leadership?
I don't think it's because it's establishment. I think people are really finally finding out that they have been, the troops for all these years with absolutely no input into the decision-making process at any level, and they're demanding this decision-making, whether it's the assembly line at Lordstown, Ohio, or the Democratic Party, or whatever it is, and they're just not going to do it anymore. They're going to have to be a part. If it's on their job, you know, there's a whole, everything's going on, this whole big thing going on about the quality of work life and job satisfaction and that whole thing. Management is going to change, if you know anything about what they call post-industrial era management. I mean, the hierarchical authoritarian mode is out. And the fact of the matter is that people who approach things that way are just going to end up the losers. And it's just as true in the party as it is in management or any other place you want to look.
So if you could design a party of the future that would function effectively, what would it be?
Well, I believe in democracy. You know, I wrote a little piece for the Women's Advocate. What does Flora Crater call that thing? This woman in Virginia puts out a newsletter. I believe that's it. after the Kansas City meeting of the Charter Commission. And I think I ended that little piece by saying that it seemed to be clear that the Democratic Party didn't believe in democracy, which is a message I got loud and clear in Kansas City. And I have no intention of going out there in December. I'll give an example, you know, a perfect example. Charter Commission members had been, I don't know who, I suppose the National Committee must have passed this, but anyway, we were told that Charter Commission members would have privileges of the floor at the mini convention after Kansas City. Some subcommittee of the National Committee, or the National Committee itself, but probably some subcommittee, met and rescinded that. And, you know, like, shut it off. And I haven't the remotest interest in going out there, you know. I have given up on the party. What would it be like? I never made it. It would be real democracy. I never made a decision for the Women's Political Caucus. Everything that came up, the group made the decision. People ask me what the caucus thinks. I say, I don't speak for the caucus. I can tell you what the group said about this and that and the other thing. If you want a real decision, it goes back to the group. You know, democracy works. But these people don't believe in it. They believe in manipulation, control. Labor wants to control. The governors want to control. I don't, either in the, you know, short or long run, it isn't going to work, and it's not going to work in the voting booth. And I think it bodes ill for this country. How to get it done without seeming to, you know, break out.
Break out of the mold with the woman on this pedestal.
Yes, right. Uh-huh. And near the lesson and final analysis, that is, you know, it's a denial of one's personhood, I would say, to a greater extent than has been true in the rest of the country. And I simply think that when they break out, it's going to be, you know, a stronger breakout than in other parts of the country.
When do you see that developing?
Well, it's developing now. It'll take a little longer, but I think it'll be stronger for that reason.
You see North Carolina leading the way in that?
I don't know. You know, if we're able to provide, I think it could. It depends on whether, you know, we're able to get the leadership.
The impression I have is North Carolina has not provided a great deal of leadership for the South in the last decade or longer in any field.
You're absolutely right. I think you're absolutely right.
We had one great quote. That North Carolina is, the further you get from North Carolina, the more progressive it looks.
That's right. I think North Carolina's been riding on its reputation for at least 15 years. That's a minimum.
End interview with Martha McKay. No more transcription, this tape.
Diplomatically.